Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing show for you today. I'm going to be joined with some amazing guests, and they're going to share their stories. They're going to share who they are, what they do, and what they're passionate about. But before we get into the meat and the potatoes of the show, you know I have to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone who's starting a business. There's someone who needs help with their personal life. There's someone somewhere who needs the information that our guests are sharing with you this morning, and they won't know about it unless you go ahead and share the show. So while you're sharing the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our very first guest, my friend. Oh, we go years way back through so many different transitions, but most importantly, I think she has helped a lot of people organize their lives. I want to go ahead and introduce Miss Allison Allman. Allison Allman is known as the organization maven. She helps busy, disorganized people in Southern California by organizing their homes, offices, and lives. She has been organizing for 20 years. Her method of dealing with root causes and purging excess items has transformed her clients' lives. Good morning, Allison. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. You know what today is, right?
Tuesday.
It's the best day of the week when I show up and be on your show.
I love when you're here. You keep it entertaining. You help the other guests. You help me with the transitions. It's fun when you're here.
Good. I'm glad. I'm so excited. Can you believe that February is over and it's March next week?
Can you believe my birthday is the 31st of March? So I'm looking forward to it.
So that means next month is like a month-long party for you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, exciting. So I'm on this huge natural high because I just finished this huge garage in Corona, California, which is about 35 minutes away from where I live in Orange County. And the client really challenged me. So I love challenges. I love puzzles. I love going into people's cluttered spaces where they're overwhelmed and ashamed and discouraged. And I go into their cluttered space and I just see so many potentials. I listen to their lifestyle. I listen to how busy they are. I listen to how discouraged they sound and in their inflection of their voice. And I give them so much hope because I could see the potential on how to organize the space and get it to how they need it to be. So I did this garage and I suggested to do a certain kind of metal cabinets that I like to put together because they're easy and quick. And my client didn't listen to my suggestion. She went to Sam's Club and bought some metal cabinets that I've never put together before, but I'm not a quitter. So I put them together. It took me a couple hours for the first one, but by the fourth one, I didn't even need the instructions anymore because I had put it together so many times. And oh my goodness, her garage looks awesome. We went way over budget, but it got all done last night. And so right after I complete a project, I have this huge satisfactional sigh inside me where I feel totally complete and that I did my job and everything. And my clients, they feel awesome because she like couldn't wait to park her car in. She wanted to have people over. I know we're not allowed to have people over. I'm hoping they're safe apart and that they're wearing masks. I can't control other people. That's all on them. But she was super excited. When she called me about a month ago, she had said she's embarrassed to open her garage and have her neighbors see into her garage and see how terrible it is because their garages are all perfect. So now she's like, all her neighbors are all her garage is perfect. Probably even better than the neighbors. I didn't knock on any neighbors and brag about it, but she can do that now.
You are so entertaining to me, Allison. I mean, because you're describing this and I'm going, okay, you're talking about organizing garages, but you approach it like it's the most exciting day of the world. How do you keep the excitement in your business?
I really do what makes me happy, which sounds so silly and simple, but like you see it from all like the big influencers where they say, do what you love. And I am at that point or I'm doing what I love. I'm doing what gives me excitement and passion and fun. And I wake up in the morning and yeah, I'm a little sore from the day before, but I'm not like, oh, I'm gonna stop doing this. This is terrible. Nope. I just know now how long it takes me to put together metal cabinets, and I can adjust my quote accordingly and add on 10 more hours to the initial quote. it got me thinking that it's really time for an assistant, like finally, because I'm like, I want the assistant to put together the metal cabinets so that I can just show up and organize. So for 10 hours, I was thinking, okay, how am I going to make an ad, and how am I going to qualify an assistant, and, you know, who should I talk to first? And so for 10 hours, I'm thinking, why am I doing this?
Interesting. Definitely seem like you enjoy your job. I'm going to come back to you, Allison, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Fetty Corbato. He is a 22-year-old, and he is the founder of Baba Bags, a reusable bag social enterprise. His mission is to eliminate single-use plastic bags while giving back to impactful nonprofits. Every bag sold, they donate $2 to charity, and last month raised 1,042 bags to help in the fight to end police brutality. Good morning, Fetty. How are you?
Hello. Thanks for having me on. Just a quick note for Allison. It's Allison, correct?
Correct.
Just a quick note, maybe for an idea to get an assistant. Putting a job up on LinkedIn was actually very successful for me. So I actually was starting to have I'm pretty much a one-man army, but actually now I have two interns that help me with social media. And so what I did was I actually put up an internship or just an unpaid internship on LinkedIn, and I got like over 90 applicants and was able to find two great young ladies who are helping me with our social media so that I can focus on, you know, the sales and the finance and the product development and all that. So that's just maybe an idea for you to just put on LinkedIn, because there's a lot of people are very willing and excited to help. So just an idea. Thank you for having me on. My name's Fetty Kurbatov. I started Baba Bags 2 years ago in my college dorm room at the University of Oklahoma. Since then, I graduated this past May, and I've been working on Baba Bags for full time. I probably will have to get a job in a little bit. Took a little time off right after school just to focus on that, take a little breather, but I still do have to pay some college loans. So we'll have to live the double life of entrepreneur, where you're working in the daytime for a company and then working on your side business or your side hustle in the evenings. So our bags looks like these. Here, let me grab one. Sorry. So they're like netted bags. So they're like netted bags, right? So this is our Action Against Hunger bag. For every bag sold, $2 is donated to Action Against Hunger. And so the idea of Baba Bags came from, so Baba means grandma in Ukrainian. I got the idea from my Ukrainian grandma, who brought a bag similar from Ukraine to the States. And so our family started using this bag my grandma gave to us. And honestly, just quickly fell in love with how compact it was, how many like you could put in your pocket or purse, how many groceries it could hold. And just honestly, my mom, when she would go grocery shopping, I would notice that she would be getting like all these compliments off the bag. And the light bulb moment really hit me when I was just kind of sitting at home, and mom came back, and she was like, she like had a huge smile on her face. She's like, oh, I love this bag. Like, this is the second time this week I've gotten a compliment off of this bag. Just seeing her joy just off of just a bag was just kind of fascinating to me. And just at that same time, I honestly was starting to get really into climate change, the environment and stuff like that. And so I saw this as an amazing opportunity to eliminate some single-use plastic bag usage. And so currently there's about 100 billion plastic bags that are used every year by families by everyone in the United States, and that's about 1,500 per family. And the sad thing about these plastic bags is that you only use them for about 14 minutes. If you think about it, the grocer bags it, you walk to your car, that probably takes a minute, and then you drive home, which takes you probably 5 to 8 minutes if you're at your local grocery store. Then you unpack the groceries, takes another minute, and then you throw out your plastic bag. And then, you know, you have this thing that then ends up being in our landfills or in our oceans for a thousand years. It takes about 1,000 years to decompose. So, you know, that just kind of inspired me a little bit to kind of take this leap of faith. It started where I pitched the idea to at the University of Oklahoma. They have a thing called the Sooner Innovation Fund, where you have an idea and you kind of pitch them and they help you with the market research aspect and they help you fund your market research. So I was lucky enough to get into that program, had great mentorship there. And then they helped me kind of, figure out how I can approach this and see if that there was a valid product market fit for the bag and for the business. And so after going through that program through the semester, I had enough of a green light to say, hey, it's worth taking the chance. And so I've been now in business for 2 years.
Congratulations. That is wonderful, wonderful, because you did start off by saying that you most likely have to get a job soon, but right. There are a lot of people out there who can help you, and maybe that job is not necessary. Maybe you can go to work for Baba Bags, but let's talk about it and see what we can come up with. I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Curtis Partridge. Curtis has over 20 years of experience in corporate information technology with an emphasis on small to medium sized business security. Good morning, Curtis. How are you?
Good morning and welcome. I should say thank you for welcoming me. I appreciate the opportunity to join this roundtable. Interesting group. So we were just reorganizing our garage this weekend. And so, Allison, I've got to say, you're like a god to me at the moment. I'm sore. We're frustrated. I don't know if the garage looks any better than when we started on Friday. So it's very apropos to, but unfortunately, we're in Florida. So it's going to be a long, long way away. But you may have an associate here, and we may want to talk to them. So, but...
Sounds to me like the cleaning out the garage was not your idea. I just get this feeling like this was not your brainchild.
No, well, no, I was on board with it. I really was, because I hate that garage. And mm-hmm. and it keeps me from doing other things I want to do, because when I go in there, it takes a half hour to find anything. And that mm-hmm. drives me crazy, because, you know, maybe I only had an hour to spare to begin with. So that spoke to me heavily. So.
But you also mentioned being in Florida, and it's like every time I get a guest in Florida, I try to share my pain. I try to tell them, oh, I'm on lockdown, we can't go out. And they're like, well, everything's open in Florida. I'm like, darn Florida.
Yeah, we took things a little bit differently here, and there was a lot of speculation it wasn't going to pan out for us, but we seem to have done fine, in relation to other states. And actually, we went to, even when we were locked down, they still allowed us to go to the beach, but they would limit parking so that not everybody could go to the beach, or at least all the same beach. Let's put it that way. So we actually found some unique beaches that we've never been to before. Lived in Florida 30 years and really got a chance to experience parts of Florida we'd never been to, and little beaches kind of off the beaten path, and really got a chance to discover a lot of things. A lot of other Floridians did the same thing. It was pretty cool, but it kind of took the lemons and made them into lemonade. But Marie and I started our company, Lotus Management Services, in 2012. I had been a corporate IT manager. Maria was in sales and had worked in the business end of property management, actually, and worked her way through the world of real estate. But we both saw a need. I had been a corporate IT director. And at the time, a lot of people may not realize this, IT made a huge shift about 10 years ago. So if you were a small business owner and you needed IT assistance, you would call somebody out, they drive over, they charged you for the trip, they charged you a lot of money per hour, and for any materials that they used. And there was no relationship. It was a transaction. So I saw an opportunity to turn it more into a relationship where we became the IT department for even small companies. We have a small law firm that just is three people, but they have a full-blown IT department. They can pick up the phone and call us, and they get treated the same as one of our clients that have 700 users. So we were able to take a tool set that's for big companies, scale it down for small companies. And then we went through another change. About 5 years ago, we saw an opportunity, and I had been in this role. This is where the opportunity came from. I had been a corporate IT manager, and I didn't need a staff per se, as much as I needed people to take certain portions of the business away. Maybe I needed somebody to handle help desk, somebody to handle security. So we ended up doing what we now call co-managed IT. Okay. So typically prior to 2015, and there's still companies that do this, they come in and they won't talk to the IT manager. They talk to the CEO or the COO, CFO. They try and get the IT department fired, essentially, and kicked out of the company. And we've heard stories, you know, Disney did it, where they brought in a firm from India, the local employees trained them, and then everybody got fired. How we do it is we come in and work with the local staff and augment them. So if a company's growing and they need to add help desk, boom, they've got a help desk. It's you know, almost like a instant soup starter, just boom, and it's up and running because we've already got the staff and we've already got the people that are in place and the technicians in the field and in the on the help desk as well. So we operate throughout Florida, Georgia, Texas, Kentucky, and Michigan. It's kind of a hit or miss, but there's a rhyme and a reason to it. So
I like it. It sounds interesting. I have so many questions. I am going to come back to you, Curtis. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Miss Jenny Bellinger. Jenny is a certified professional coach and the host of the Badass Direct Sales Mastery podcast. She works with badass direct sales moms to achieve the financial and time freedom they desire so they can be fully present in their children's lives. An entrepreneur since 2010, she understands the desire to contribute to your family's future and be present with them in the here and now, and how difficult balancing those two priorities can be. Good morning, Jennifer. Jenny, how are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Sharif. I really appreciate it. And I love this really diverse group of entrepreneurs. This is so fun. I'm a high eye on the disc. So I'm like, ooh, variety. And it, lots of people, and the ADD in me is like, ooh, there's a professional organizer. I've used one of those before. My kitchen looks amazing because of a great professional organizer. So, you know, if you can't hire Allison because you're somewhere in the country, find a professional organizer. Because let me tell you, that was a life changer for me and my family and my business. Because now just like Curtis was saying, you know, can't find what you need in the garage in half an hour. It was taking me 5-10 extra minutes per day to go find this potter pan or, you know, grab this thing that I needed for a meal. So, oh my gosh, kitchen organization. Oh, total life changer. And then the other thing that's going to drive Allison crazy is the fact that I'm a bag hoarder. So that's going to make Fetty very happy because I love those multi-use bags. I know I've got so many of them, but I have them in my car for when I go grocery shopping. I have them in the house for carrying things around. And, you know, and when you've got two kids, you know, you are the carrier of all things. having that Baba bag is, a great idea. So I hope you're going to put the link in the chat, at least for us, Fetty, because I want access to one of those. Allison, I promise not to buy too many. And
I'm per person. You're allowed one per family member.
Okay.
No, don't go ruin Fetty's business. We got to give him a day job.
I know.
Everybody in the family.
You can have two on hand for those unexpected parties you get invited to and you need a gift, because I know you have a gift closet or cabinet with random gifts. So it's that way, if you get invited to a birthday party, you just go to that closet. Every mom has one of those. So you just stick a bag in there.
I need to start one of those because I'm the person who's walking into Target 20 minutes before the party.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Jenny. That, right? Yeah, Allison knows I don't keep stuff around, but you seem nice and calm and relaxed. Is it your diffuser? Does it help? What's your favorite blend? Because I know you have one.
Oh, I do. Okay. So my favorite blend for oils is from doTERRA, and it's called the Peace Blend. And I call it my Rest in Peace Blend because I sleep like the dead when I use it.
I need that one. I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah, that's my favorite one at nighttime. And then my other favorite one, I don't diffuse it, but it's a rollerball. It's called Motivate. And I love it. It wakes me up. I don't know if you guys saw me like sniffing it before we went live, because I was just like, it's got citrus and peppermint. It really gets your brain awake and going. But hi, everybody. I work, as Sharifa said, I work with Rockstar Direct Sales Moms to help them move from making $100 per month to being in the top 1% of their company. All of that started because I myself was one of those direct sales moms who really wanted to be able to contribute to my family financially, but also be there for them, because I had previously been in a teaching position where I was away from home a lot and I wanted to be there for my kids. I didn't have kids so that other people could raise them. Not that I hold any judgment on people who use daycare or preschool, but I knew that I wanted to be there for my kids. And so I went and found something that would allow me to be there for my children. And during the 7 years that I ran my direct sales business, I basically, you know, checked all the metrics for, you know, what people consider successful in direct sales, which is, you know, in 7 years, I earned 9 trips. I had multiple car bonuses, cash bonuses with commas in them, you know, all of those, you know, really cool, fun things that people, you know, associate with success. And what really hurt me was about 5 years in, I recognized that there was a whole bunch of people who were no longer in the business who'd started with me 5 years before. Uh-huh. And I was really upset about that because I was like, look at what it's done for me. And I want everyone to have this. Now, I understand not everybody wants the same things that I did, but I was like, I can work with the people who want the thing that I did, which was to replace my teacher salary. And so that's what I did. I worked to get to the point where I could be home with my kids and also able to help other people achieve what they were wanting to through their direct sales business model. And it's something, you know, that slowly I came to recognize that it wasn't just the people in my company who were wanting this. There were people in other companies who were wanting that ability. So I went and obtained a certification to be a professional coach. So that way I could make sure that I was going to be able to help inspire and motivate in the way that people really need to go through that process, because I'm not a consultant. I don't tell people what to do, even though my podcast is called the Badass Direct Sales Mastery Podcast, which if you haven't thought about it yet, Badass Direct Sales Mastery acronym, it is indeed BDSM. And I am the direct sales dom who helps women whip their business into shape. It's so much fun. But that's because I did my research before I started my podcast. I went and looked to see what other direct sales podcasts were out there. And I recognized that there were a whole bunch of middle-aged white women with direct sales podcasts. Well, how do you stand out in a sea of middle-aged white women? Well, apparently the best idea is to put on corset and howl the whip in your podcast cover art, because people see that and they go, here's the thing. It is truly attraction and repulsion marketing at the same time, because people either look at that cover art and go, I have got to listen to this. That looks hilarious, right? They get the joke right off the bat, or they're clutching their pearls going, oh, I could never. And that's okay too, because somebody who can't even listen to an episode is not going to be willing to step outside of their comfort zone,
right,
in order to reach the success they desire. So they're not the client I'm going to be working with anyway. So yeah, so that's who I am, what I do at this point.
I love it. I have so many questions. My mind, you know, especially when you name the BDSM, I'm like, I have questions for you, but I'm going to come right back to you, Jenny. I want to go ahead and interview Mr. Vincenzo. Good morning, Vincenzo.
Good morning.
the managing partner of the CPA firm Global Aspect Advisors. He is a boutique CPA firm specializing in tax preparation for entrepreneurs, U.S. aspects, and other folks in special situations. Good morning, Vincenzo.
How are you? How's everybody?
I'm fine. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. I'm here in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. I just got back.
Stop bragging.
You know, it's already afternoon.
So calmly, I'm in Rio de Janeiro. Okay, you know what I mean? I'm in California. I'm in LA. There's homeless people here. I'm sorry.
Oh man, well listen, I mean, if it makes you feel any better, it's, you know, I'm a tax accountant, it's tax season, I'm about to, you know, dedicate the next, 4 months of my life to my clients and working in front of a computer, so I gotta have something to hold on to, you know what I mean?
It's something like, at least I'm gonna be quarantined for 4 months in Rio, like, that's the upside.
Yeah, exactly, so it's not easy.
But, okay, I'm sorry, Vincenzo, but today, Allison's fault. Allison got me all over the place. So I'm just going to start with the questions I want to know. Because in here, in February for Mardi Gras, what they did, since they couldn't have the normal Mardi Gras parades and different things like that, a lot of the people in their homes, they decorated them. They made them like different floats so people could still have the Mardi Gras experience. Are y'all doing anything like that in Rio?
You know what, they had some, they just do like sort of these underground parties that no one's supposed to talk about, as opposed to doing the Zoom parties, etc. So, you know, it's South America, some people follow rules, some people don't. So, you know, that's part of it. But to be honest, it was a sad time because it wasn't like the real carnival. And, you know, obviously Mardi Gras is big in the States, but the thing about Brazil is, I mean, this is a nationwide thing, you know, and it doesn't matter what's going on. You know, the country could be, you know, doing poorly economically or, you know, this, that, politics, et cetera. But it's like the one time of the year that everyone in Brazil sort of just gets together, you know, you hit the streets, you know, rich, poor, doesn't matter what color you are, et cetera. And you just sort of celebrate like that carnival time and that spirit. And so obviously with everything going on, it wasn't the same this year, but I do invite everyone to come down because carnival is probably one of the coolest celebrations of just like life and love and you know, life, if you will, in the world.
So okay. So just so you know, next year for carnival, I'll be at your house. Obviously. Just so you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Tell us about yourself, Vincenzo. Who are you? What do you do?
No, for sure. Basically 10 years ago, I was working in New York. I worked at, you know, PricewaterhouseCoopers, big public accounting firm, et cetera. And then I, you know, kind of like Fetty, I had this little side hustle doing taxes on the side, you know, et cetera. And, you know, when everything was the crisis, et cetera, 2010, I moved down to Buenos Aires, Argentina, you know, in this eat, pray, love moment of like, I want to just, you know, learn Spanish, get away from New York, et cetera. And then, you know, I was down there really just trying to figure my life out. And of course, you know, taxes sort of coming up, people started asking me about this and opening up US companies, et cetera. And I just built a business basically, you know, built a website, onlinetaxman.com, and built a business, you know, specifically for, you know, helping entrepreneurs, helping Americans living abroad or foreigners that want to invest in the United States for their taxes. And so, you know, everything is completely online. And we have clients around the world. We have a staff of like 15 people. And, you know, we just help people with doing their US taxes and tax planning and all sorts of strategies. So it's been a blessing to be able to travel. And so I was in Argentina for a few years, Colombia, and now I'm living in Brazil. So obviously I like South America.
Wow. I love it. Now, Fetty, we're going to give you some advice today. That's my gift to you, okay? My happy Tuesday. This is my gift. So the people on this panel, on this show, they have so many more years of experience. And so we're going to see what we can do to help you. Now, I want to go back to this bag, right? Because I'm one of those people, when I go grocery shopping, I am determined, I will make sure I do everything in one trip. Like everything has to go in one trip. Right, can the Baba bag?
Yes. So I would be more than happy to share a video with you. So I did an experiment about, it was probably like about 3-4 months ago. And so we went to Walmart, and it was about, so we went to Walmart, we did a grocery pickup. So like something that's been very popular right now during the pandemic. And then we took all the things that were in plastic bags out of the grocery pickup, and then we transferred them to Baba bags. So it took 3 Baba bags, and that was equivalent to 5 plastic bags. So, cause there's also some things that people or like grocers will double bag. And the thing is with the Baba bag, our bags do come with a lifetime warranty. So there's a video that I also could share with you if you're interested, of the bag holding over 140 pounds. So the bag does come with a lifetime warranty. They're super strong. They're handmade in Ukraine, where I originally got the idea. So yes, to answer your question, yes, it can carry, if you have 2, it can definitely carry all of your things, because that's the beauty of it, that it can stretch out and hold a lot of weight.
Eddie, I had a quick question.
Yes.
Are the machine washable? Because that was a thing a couple of years ago where people were carrying the bags back and forth and back and forth without ever cleaning them. And they thought that, I guess some researchers discovered there could be some germs. So.
Right. Yes. So they are machine washable. So right now they are made out of organic cotton. So if you wash them, they may shrink a little bit, but the thing is what, if you use it like once or twice, it'll stretch back to its original form, or you can just take it and actually just stretch it. So like if you washed it and it shrunk a little bit, if you just give it a little nice tug, it gets right back to its original form.
I like that, Fetty. So what you can do is you can use the Baba bag in your workout in the morning. You can do like 20 stretches with the Baba bag in the morning. Hey, there's a workout.
Yeah, you know? True. I mean, I never thought of it that way, but you're totally right. Maybe make a longer one. You could jump rope.
I was thinking about colors. People could, all those crafty people can do like tie dye or use marker on it and change it up and do different colors. That'd for those artistic people that can't have things that are just plain.
True. Okay, so Jenny, you're the expert.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to ask, do you have a particular tribe that you are really focusing on selling the bag to, or are you still in the mode of trying to sell to anyone and everyone?
Well, I mean, I definitely have a target market. So my target market is definitely a woman from the ages of probably like 25 to like 55 who shops at Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, farmers markets, local grocery stores, who's passionate about the environment, giving back to charity, gardening, maybe a vegetarian, maybe vegan lifestyle. So I have like kind of this like demographic that I'm definitely trying to target. But I guess maybe my one question would be, or I mean, I have a lot of questions, but My one question would be like, where, like just hearing that, like, are there any kind of like maybe media prints or blogs or because there's obviously influencers on Instagram, which I have reached out to, but is there like maybe a print where you think a lot of the characteristics of who I described, you know, likes to consume media or consume content, so that there's like a really targeted way to advertise to them?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Right off the top of my head, I've already got like 3 podcast hosts that I would love to introduce you to. Cool. Because they would love to share what you're doing. So one of them that comes to mind right now is a friend of mine named Marjorie. She's got a podcast that is called A Sustainable Mind. Cool. And she's working with people to, you know, create green sustainable options. And in this case, this would be a perfect thing that she would probably love to feature on her podcast, right? So I would definitely be looking into, you know, because my guess is a lot of those women that you have as part of your avatar are probably also podcast listeners, because they are probably up on all the trends and they want to make sure that they are you know, learning and growing all the time. So I would think podcasting would be a great way. And it generally doesn't cost you anything to be on a podcast. It's free marketing and it's a great way to get in front of the podcast host audience. But then also you're sharing this new piece of marketing material that you have as the entrepreneur with your network to be able to say, hey, guess what? I was just featured on, you know, this, you know, Super Green podcast. And yes, here's this other podcast that I was on. And, yes, because I, you know, looking into the fact that you probably are working with moms with, you know, any of those parenting podcasts would also be good too. Don't feel like you just want to be on the green and sustainable ones, but also looking at moms, because moms are the ones who are carrying all the things, because kids, husbands are always like, can you carry this for me? Can you carry? Yes. Right. And so now they've got an option that can carry all the things, apparently 140 pounds worth of stuff. So maybe a kid, I don't know.
Yeah. Or a cooking show. Cooking is huge now. Cooking is huge.
A lot of podcasts
with that. No, Vincenzo. I like that name. Vincenzo, my cousin Vinny. Talk to me, my cousin. Were you ever afraid of having, like, kind of Fetty's like, I have to get a day job soon? When you were going through this process of starting your own business, was that one of your fears? And if so, how did you get over it?
You know, I think for me, it was almost, you know, it always started as like a side hustle, et cetera. But when I left the U.S., it was always about, hey, you know what? I could always come back to, you know, being an accountant, you know? And I think, like, you know, one of the things for me was, one, having that experience. And when I was down in Argentina, one, it was so cheap to live there. So for me, it was like, you know, I could run this like lean startup and you know, live off of, you know, $25,000 a year versus in New York, you know, it'd be like triple plus that, right? And so it was sort of like, you know, living in that lean startup, you know, mode, obviously also, you know, getting to know expats, I was sort of already in that market. And then I saved a lot on taxes too, right? So it was like, you know, one, you know, spending less. And then also, yeah, like, you know, everything I earned essentially was, you know, I took home and I was able to reinvest in the business, et cetera. So yeah, I know, Fetty, like, you're originally from Ukraine and, you know, so even like looking at places where, even if it's not, you know, full year round, you know, just being able to go back and spend some time or wherever it is, you know, and like I said, just saving money to reinvest in your business, I think is big if you have that capacity, you know, to do so personally.
Great advice. Thank you.
No, you're welcome.
Curtis, when you started your company, do you recommend keeping it small and lean?
Yeah, absolutely. So there is actually a book, The Lean Startup, I think it's the name of it. Yeah. And it gave us a lot of insight into how to go into something without spending a lot of money. So my wife and I actually are starting another company at the moment, and we are running it super lean. And we actually have started, I think in the last 10 years, one other company that I can think of together. And again, it was a failure. I'm willing to admit that, but we literally lost maybe a couple of $1,000. And because we just ran it super lean, it was an experiment. Would this work? The one we're doing now, it's an experiment. Would it work? Now, the downside of that is that I don't think you have the heart in it when it's a side, let's see if this works kind of thing. Because we believed in what we were doing with Lotus and changing this dynamic, and how companies got IT support and then ultimately cybersecurity assistance and protection. It's a do or die kind of thing. And actually at one point I considered going to get a day job and keeping our staff because we had to cut a very toxic client, to say the least. And ultimately that worked out super well. But again, we weighed the option of I would go get a job and we keep our staff. And I would just, you know, work evenings.
Wow, so, I definitely agree.
In reality, I don't know how that would have worked, but.
But it sounds good at the time. I'll just go get a job.
Yeah, we threw it on the table, so.
Jenny.
Well, I was going to, the next question I wanted to ask for you, Fetty, is it sounds to me like you're probably doing, you know, sales in terms of onesies, twosies, people buying them here and there. Have you focused on at all on finding any type of bulk markets, you know, where people, you know, let's say, for example, like a school might buy 50 bags, you know, and, you know, gift them to teachers, or a church or a food pantry might buy those bags as a reusable bag to bring back and forth. So that way, when people come and pick up their, you know, their food, they have a reusable bag and they can bring that back. And that would, in the end, drop, you know, the food pantry's cost, because they're not having to buy paper bags, plastic bags, anything like that over and over again. They're getting to utilize, you know, asking the people who are regulars to bring in that same bag again and again. Is bulk order something that you have considered or pursued?
So it's definitely something that I've considered, and I was honestly ready to pursue that in 2020, but with COVID hitting, it was just really difficult. Because then everyone kind of just took a step back when it came to like reusable bags, especially like stores. Like we're in two stores right now, but you know, the goal was really to start getting into a lot of stores and start working through there. And I love that idea of like schools. We even had a conversation where it was like a church was trying to fundraise, and this could be like a fundraising opportunity. Ultimately, they didn't go through with it, but I think that that's an awesome model to have. But to answer your question, that's something that I really want to really get into once this kind of stigma of reusable bags are spreading germs and all that stuff. So for right now, I'm just kind of focusing on e-commerce. And then in the summertime, I did very well when it comes to just going to farmers markets and selling. But right now in Chicago, it's a little cold. So
I feel ya.
Lay low for a little bit.
I like the fundraiser.
We're having iconic Southern California weather again, where it's going to be 80 today and sunny. And it's actually a little dry, so I have my humidifier going. And so we have the iconic weather here.
I know. I love being in Southern California. But I did love the idea of the fundraiser, though, because a lot of times with fundraisers, all you have to create is actually a one sheet. And then the kids and the students can use it as a way, you know, to raise money for the schools. And there are a lot of schools that are actually in need right now, and you may be able to help them out. But I just believe where there's a will, there's a way. And when I start thinking about getting a day job, believe me, I come up with a way.
I made that promise back in 2010 that I would never have a day job again. I would clean toilets, work nights, dig holes for trees, whatever it took. And because I was actually getting fired in 2010 from a job. And I was laughing through the exit interview. And they're like, Allison, you know we're firing you and not writing you up again. I go, I know, isn't that great? I don't have to come here anymore. I've been miserable every day just begging for you guys to fire me back in August. And here it is October, and you're finally doing it. And they're like, do we need to call someone? You seem overly excited. And I go, no, I'm just so glad that you're finally doing this. And so, bye. They still escorted me out of the building.
Well, that's a wonderful experience. Wonderful. Vincenzo, it is tax time. People are gearing up. Is there any advice, anything in particular you think business owners, especially small business owners, need to know?
Yes, a few things. I would say this, one thing that everyone sort of always forgets is like, what is their sort of structure? I mean, a lot of people get, you know, do LLCs, et cetera. I think when people get to a certain point, they should switch an LLC to an S-Corp. An S-Corp would save people money on like self-employment tax, like Social Security, et cetera. And so when someone gets to a point, roughly net of maybe like 40 or 50,000, depending, you know, they should switch to an S-Corp. You know, the other thing is people, you know, setting up like a solo 401k and you know, going down that route where they could, you know, put money away towards retirement, but also, you know, again, just get their net income down. Yeah, I mean, and then obviously the notion of, you know, tracking your expenses, and people that are sort of one-man shops, you know, sometimes they commingle personal expenses with business expenses, but to really sort of go and do the whole notion of, of opening up a separate business bank account or having a dedicated business credit card for their expenses related to their business. You know, things like that. I mean, you know, get a good accountant, obviously.
We're gonna call you.
You call me, find me. Yeah, but I mean, I think it's, and just getting ahead of the ball, you know, on this sort of stuff too, you know, I mean, because it's not just, you know, when you have the time, you know, to, when you get organized up front, you know, not only does it make the accountant's life easier, but it makes your life easier. You're allowed to sort of think through it, you know, as opposed to like this sort of last minute rush, you know, that sort of just, rush to finish, and, you know, things are prone to mistakes and not like, you know.
One of the greatest suggestions I can make for any entrepreneur just getting started is, as soon as you can, get yourself a dedicated accountant who's going to work with you on a lot of these things, because, you know, especially if it's not an area that you feel comfortable with it, you know, money was not an area that I was totally in love with running for my business, and hiring an accountant really was the greatest decision I ever made. So, and make sure to interview a few of them. Don't just go with the first one you meet. So talk to if you find one who's a good fit for you.
Finding
an accountant, it's kind of like finding a therapist, which is kind of like dating. You know, you got to just like have the one that you're like, okay, this is a good one. You just, you click, and it's totally true.
I would go with you only because you were in Rio, because I would figure if you were in New York, you would be charged New York rate. So I'm like, he's in Rio. He doesn't need that much. He's not going to overcharge me. He has enough to live on. So, you know, maybe that's me being prejudiced, but New York's out. I don't want to.
No one wants to pay New York rates if you're not living in New York, even if you are.
Exactly. Curtis, you found that nice accountant?
It, you know, we've been through the ringer when it comes to accountants. We've had, we are, I think, you know, so 10 years of business. We are nine and a half years of business. We are in our fourth or fifth accountant. They're tough to find. We actually, our accountant is in Malibu, California.
Oh, wow. They charging you Malibu rates. No, I'm just kidding.
But I will tell you, we could not find somebody locally who was consistent and trustworthy, you know, that followed through. That was the big thing, was follow through. So we ended up getting connected through a referral to Bill, our accountant out in, and what's unique about him is he's specific to our industry.
Okay.
And so he gets how things work for, it's just a little bit different than I think other types of businesses. So I think that was part of the struggle. So he is specific to our industry, and we have another one in our backyard that's specific to our industry, but again, we never hired him. We interviewed him. It just wasn't, we didn't click. We didn't connect. But we do with Bill, and we find him to be proactive. He follows up, he follows through, and he gives us hard advice when we need it. So
I like that. Bill's gonna have to get him a podcast.
Yeah.
So we can call and ask him questions. Now, Jenny, I think people are tuning in, and their question they want to know is, okay, we have the accountant, we have the IT in place, our garage is organized, and we have a Baba bag, but how do we put it all together with that direct sale so that we can actually make money for this business?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, you know, I love how both Curtis and Vincenzo did talk about having the all-in attitude, having a complete commitment to your business, your entrepreneurship, and understanding, having a plan, understanding, you know, not just the money plan, the accounting plan, but having a way that takes you from goals, because most people will set goals. Most goals that they set for their business are outcome based. So they're saying things like, we're going to do $100,000 in revenue. We're going to do $1 million in revenue, whatever that may be, right? But what they aren't often doing is taking that outcome based goal. And this is really something that doesn't happen in direct sales as often, is that transfer of outcome based goal to an action plan. And there is a formula that can take you from a goal, a numerical goal, to an action plan, something that you get to do every single day or every single week or every single month in your business in order to achieve that, that walks you down the path to achieve that particular goal. So it's walking through that process. And if you don't know what that process is, get yourself a coach, get yourself someone who knows that formula to take you from goal to plan.
I like it. Just ask Jenny. That's what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Go find Badass Direct Sales Mastery podcast. And you have all of my contact information in every single show notes. So yes. It's all right there.
I love it. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. You smiling, Allison. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Allison.
Oh, I get to be first. Okay. Yes. Usually I'm last and I wrap this up. So I want people that are feeling overwhelmed and frustrated with their homes in Southern California. And in the future, I will be in other states. But right now, I'm still working on the Southern California market because there's actually 92,000 garages in my area. And I've only done about 200 of them. So I have to master the 92,000 before I go to another state. So then I can really call myself a garage queen. Anyways, so I want the overwhelmed and the shamed and everything to contact me. The best way to contact me is the organization Maven through all the social media options. And I give free consultations and I am here to help you live your best life.
That was wonderful. That was a commercial. Thank you, Allison. Curtis, what do you have for us?
So my wife comes out with an email every Wednesday morning. And it's all focused on cybersecurity. It's usually one to two, maybe even three paragraphs. You can sign up at our website, lotusbusinesstech.com. And so it comes out every morning about 10 a.m. or every Wednesday morning. It's the only email we send because we hate spam as much as you do. We have businesses that spend money to fight spam, so we're obviously not going to contribute to that problem. But it's a great little snippet on how you can protect yourself and your small business when it comes to cybersecurity. It's one of those things no one wants to think about. And it's another thing you have to worry about, just like locking the doors at night and, home security. And it's just along those lines. But we give it to you in small, bite-sized, actionable chunks every Wednesday morning. So just sign up there. It's lotusbusinesstech.com. And we'll help you out with cybersecurity.
I like that. I received an email, two emails yesterday, actually. Captivate is the company that actually hosts my podcast. Well, the Roundtable Talk Show, it's streamed as a podcast as well. And they had a DOS attack yesterday. And so they first sent us an email talking about all this DOS attack. Then they sent us another email saying because of the procedures and the steps that they had taken, the only thing that went down was the website. But the actual functionality of the podcast system was protected. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe I should look into more ways to make sure that I'm protected in the future. I don't know, but I like that, Curtis. I'm gonna have to sign up for your weekly email, your weekly newsletter.
Thanks.
Fetty, what do you have for us?
Yes, so thank you everyone for all the great advice. I really appreciate it. I'll make sure to connect with all of you. Just to the people viewing this, we have a single use problem just in general. When instead of using a plastic water bottle, use a reusable water bottle. Instead of using a plastic straw, refuse a straw or use a metal straw. Instead of using a single-use mask when you're going to the grocery store, use a reusable mask. And when instead of using a single-use plastic bag, use a reusable bag or preferably a bob bag. So you could find us at www.baba-bags.com or at It's Baba Bags on Facebook or Instagram. I did write it down right here just for that. So thanks, guys.
I like that. Nobody's ever done that before. That was kind of cool.
I'm more of a visual person, so I thought I'd put that out there.
So am I. Thank you for that. I already follow Baba Bags on Instagram, so I'm looking for some exciting posts. Thank you. Vincenzo, what do you have for us?
Thank you. Thank you, Sharifa, for having me, everyone. I love the discussion. And listen, I mean, for everyone out there on the show, out there listening, if anyone has a tax question, it is tax season. So please feel free to reach out at onlinetaxman.com or just, get the contact. And like I said, we're happy to give a free consultation to any of the listeners for Sharifa's show. And if anyone has any questions about Brazil or South America, needs any travel advice, I'm sort of like a South American expert living 10 years outside. And, now with COVID and working remotely, et cetera, I actually encourage people, if they want to just take that plunge and live abroad, for me, it's been one of the most rewarding things that I've ever done, just personally challenge myself. To live in a country where I didn't speak the language, I didn't, really know anyone. And so, listen, I mean, it might not be for everyone. And obviously, some people might not have the ability to, but if you can, it's a beautiful experience. So that's sort of my other personal anecdote for everyone. But like I said, thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. I'm definitely going to travel. I mean, I didn't travel as much prior to the pandemic, but now it's like I feel this sense of restlessness. Like I just want to go somewhere because I've been stuck in the house in California for a year. So I just want to travel. So I'll definitely go ahead and check Rio out. Thank you. Please. Jenny, close us out. What do you have for us?
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you again. So in addition to the Badass Direct Sales Mastery podcast, I am hosting my very first summit. It's a virtual summit. Happening March 18th, 19th, and 20th online. I am interviewing 36 different speakers, authors, coaches, and top people in the network marketing and direct sales industry. So if you would like to, you are welcome to go check it out at badassdirectsalesmastery.com/summit. And I am super happy to announce that Jack Canfield is somebody that I interviewed for the summit. So if you're somebody who has been like, I love Jack Canfield, I love the chicken soup for the soul, I love the success principles, I love everything that Jack Canfield stands for. And you also know that it's virtually impossible to get to see him for free. And my summit is absolutely free because I do not want price to be a barrier to learning how to build your business in 2021. So please go check it out at badassdirectsalesmastery.com/summit and sign up for your free ticket and share it with your other friends and in direct sales. They will thank you, or they'll be horrified. One of the two. The handcuffs either attracts people or freaks them out.
I like you, Jenny. You are fun. Nobody does a free summit. Nobody, virtual, in person, it doesn't matter. No one does a free summit. So I think that's wonderful. And I'm definitely a Jack Canfield. He has so many different spinoffs from Chicken Soup for the Soul. I mean, it's just amazing the different journeys that he's taken. So I'm going to have to check that out. So thank you for mentioning it. And I see why you're at the top in direct sales, because you put the information out there and you let people know. That's how you do it. So I want to thank you all for tuning in to this episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. But I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show does not mean you're not important. It doesn't mean we still don't need your support, because we do. We appreciate you watching the show. We appreciate you sharing the show. But I always ask, please support our guests. Our guests are here this morning to share their information, their strategies, their tips. And I know we definitely happen to help today. If we see Baba Bags on every store, it was here today, the Roundtable Talk Show. We helped to make the magic happen. So please support our guests. Their websites are in the Facebook post, but don't just visit their websites. Follow them on social media, reach out to them, send them a message. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day.